right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Movie Talks and Chill. We're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
And in this episode, we did kind of an idea. We haven't rated a particular one movie in a while. I mean, we've kind of talked over some, but mainly...
I think since Cocaine Bear, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So almost a year, actually. Yeah. Just a little over a year, because I think that was like the first or second week of February.
Right, yeah.
Yep. Which reminds me, offline we'll have to talk, there's going to be another movie planning screening coming up soon. So in this episode, I'll say spoilers because this movie did come out in 2022, but I actually just recently had heard about it, only because I just didn't know about it beforehand, but I saw a lot of Facebook traffic about this movie, like, hey, I just saw this. So I said, hey,
guys. I saw it on a few streaming sites. Like, I think it started on Netflix before it went to Max. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe one day I'll watch this.
Yeah, that reminds me, I have to expense my purchase of it.
There you go. So we decided we were going to screen a movie. I watched it. I thought it was a little mind-bender, and it intrigued me. But I said, hey, guys, let's have you guys watch it. They said they could. And now we're going to talk about it. So who wants to say the title of the movie?
You do.
Okay.
It was your idea.
All right, then. I'll just turn your mics off. No need to speak. So the movie's called The Menu.
And now I'm hungry.
Yes. It's hungry.
I don't want to eat any of the food in that movie.
Even the deconstructed non-bread bread plate?
Yeah. That was weird.
That part was like, that's where I was like, all right, this is turning in a direction I didn't think that it was going
to
go.
Well, I thought it was about to turn into a Japanese crime drama when it chopped off the dude's finger.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're getting a little ahead of
ourselves.
Take
your ring finger.
We haven't gotten to that part yet. No. We watched it. For me, I was telling the guys before, I'll tell it for you guys, is it had a kind of like an M. Night Shyamalan type of feel to it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a twist and turn. You think it's this, it turns out to be that. And then some other things happen along the way and just the way the characters are. First of all, it does have a lot of really good actors in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got, I have to look up all their names. So if I look down, that's what I'm doing. So was it Anya Taylor-Joy? Is that how you pronounce her name? Ralph Fiennes. So real quick, Anya Taylor-Joy, she was also in a couple of Night Shyamalan movies. She was in Split. She was also in Glass. Yep. And then she's been in a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. She's a pretty well-known actress.
Yep. And then you've got Ralph. I'm not going to pronounce his name right. Is it Fiennes? Fiennes?
I think it's Fiennes.
F-I-E-N-N-E-S. So if anybody knows the answer to that one, you can email us with a voice recording so we hear how you pronounce it.
It's the Fiennes. Yep. It's the Ralph Fiennes.
But he's been in a bunch of stuff, but he was also, one of his bigger roles was in Schindler's List. He played opposite Liam Neeson in that one.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which character. I mean, it was one of the Germans, obviously, but I can't remember which one. And then you have Nicholas, is it Holt?
Yeah, Holt? Yeah, he's also kind of, you know, Voldemort. But
yes, he was Voldemort, too.
Nobody saw any of the Harry
Potter. No.
Nicholas Holt, when I first saw him, I was like, oh, that's Renfield.
Yep. Yeah. Renfield, yep. I mean, he's been in quite a few other things.
Yeah.
Renfield, Warm Bodies.
Yep, Warm Bodies.
Man.
That movie.
That movie.
But then it had one of my favorites, too. And that
John
was,
Leguizamo.
Yeah, yep, John Leguizamo was in it, man.
I was looking up, so after I watched the movie, I went down like an IMDb, just like rabbit hole, just reading about this movie. He doesn't have his character name is just Movie Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he doesn't have an explicit name.
And come to think of it, I don't know if they actually say his name. They may.
No, I don't think his character name is listed as Movie Star.
I want to say it does because when the Coast Guard guy comes in.
Yeah, he asks, he's like, aren't you so-and-so? Yeah. So I think they do.
I don't think he says it. I think, aren't you from Me and My Wife Love That Movie, Paging Dr. Sunshine or something like that.
Paging Dr. Sunshine, the one that he hated.
Yeah.
He was there.
He's like, I get 1 hour a month off and I wasted it on your movie.
So we'll start out with a quick brief synopsis of the film. It's basically, I'm not going to go by a Wikipedia version. I'm going to go by the synopsis of what I saw, and then you guys feel free to add in whatever I'm missing. But basically, shut up. Gone. Don't you have to get COVID or something again?
Damn it.
But basically, it's all these like elite people or people who have a lot of money. They pay, it's like $1,250 per head to go eat at this place. It's called Hawthorne Resort. It's basically on an island.
But it's not a resort. It's a restaurant.
Or it's just a restaurant, but it's on an island.
Yeah.
But it's called Hawthorne is the name of the restaurant, I believe. Yep. And, you know, Ralph Fiennes, he plays the chef that everybody's placed. And basically he's, you know, gone through his life. What they explain through the movies, you know, he started out small. He built himself up to a point of where he could raise his price points where only the elitists could afford to go and eat there. So everybody goes to this island where the whole purpose of the island is to grow everything and to farm everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like any seafood they have, you know, they're going out in the water, catching it and anything.
And they make it a point to tell you they slaughtered their cows like an hour before they started cooking.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
And so basically all these guests go and are going to enjoy this. And it's like a whole ordeal because I think
it's like an 8 or 9 course meal.
Yeah. And it's like a 4-hour long thing. And they even tell you that. He specifically tells you, and they announce every meal. So you get some, you know, hoity-toity rich people. You've got some, you know, rich food critics in there. But then,
you got the business owner,
the
guys.
Business partners. Yeah. And then you got John Leguizamo as an actor, and he's got his assistant with him. And it's basically so they can all experience this amazing dining experience. And what they find out later throughout the course of the movie is basically the menu, everybody he has for this particular seating, he has planned out the entire menu so that it works around everybody. And he's basically they're all going to die, including the chef and all the staff. So they're all willing to just die because it's his way of mocking society, so to speak, or the elitist group, and saying basically people don't deserve this. Hmm. Here's your final meal in a way. But the whole point is there's one guy who's just a huge fan of the chef, and that's the Nicholas Hoult character. His name is Tyler in the movie. And he's just obsessed with food and obsessed with this chef, and he's like wants to be him, and he thinks he knows everything about food, and his original girlfriend breaks up with him. Said he was going to invite her.
He hires an escort.
Yeah, he hires an escort, which you don't know about that later.
Yeah.
But he's one of the only ones that actually knew that they were going to die, because he said, the chef tells him later on in the movie, he's like, we've been corresponding, and he's like, what did I say in this? Like, it was going to be an amazing experience. Like, what else? And he's like, that everybody was going to die. So this guy is so psycho, and I'm not even talking about the chef being psycho. I'm talking about this guy, Tyler, so psycho. He wants to try this food so bad and pay for this escort to go with him, knowing she's going to die. That's what, just so he can experience being around this guy.
And the chef hates him for that. He he puts him through the ringer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so the whole movie goes on, but the girl that's the main girl, Anya Taylor-Joy, she's the escort, but she's not supposed to be there. And throughout the movie, you tell the chef can notice this, and he knows that she's not supposed to be there because they've gone through all this research to find out everything about all these particular
everybody
people.
Everybody that's there,
everything about them, so he can cater the menu around them, but that's where the M. Night type thing, Shyamalan feeling came for me, because there'd be a scene, she goes in the bathroom to go smoke, and he follows her in there, and he's like, who are you? What are you doing here?
Why aren't you eating?
Yeah, and you're not supposed to be here, because he even keeps telling her, you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she starts forming a weird bond with him, because he's not an elitist. You know, he worked hard to get where he was, and he never didn't have anything growing up, and he hates these people for just pissing everything away. Like, they just go there, like the one couple, that rich couple, he's like, how many times you been here? Like 11 times.
Yeah, and they can't name one dish.
Yeah, they can't name one dish that he's made, or, you know, even anything that he's made. And the whole movie is him announcing. So each course, he tells a story about it. And he announces what they're eating and explains exactly what they're eating. And this isn't even the messed up part yet. We haven't even gotten close to that. But overall,
I'd like to talk about Jeremy when we get there.
Yep. So basically, that's it. And each thing has a story. And then they start finding out, I think it's like maybe 30 minutes in, he's basically telling them they're all going to die. And then, it becomes like a whole big game.
I think at the 30-minute mark is when, like, the old rich guy who can't remember a single dish is like, all right, we're leaving. And they're like, choose a hand.
Yeah.
Yep. He's like, I'll handle this. Because the wife's like, let's, and he's like, no, I'll handle this. She's like, which hand will you be handling this?
Yeah. The maitre d', Elsa, I believe her name is. So he tries to get up and leave, and she's like, there's no leaving. And now you have to choose left or right. And he's like, I'm not choosing anything. He's like, if you don't, we'll choose for you. It's like, let me out of here.
All right, left hand.
Left hand, please.
Left hand, pinky finger. Or ring finger.
Ring finger. So as like, I don't know, punishment for trying to leave, they chop off this dude's finger. They don't give him any medical supplies.
Nope.
They just chop off his finger and hope he doesn't die from exsanguination.
Just one of those bar napkins that never really picks up anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen him from courtside. It doesn't stop any kind of bleeding.
Doesn't even stop the condensation from my beer mug.
No,
exactly.
Nope. But I thought the interesting one was, I can't remember which course it was, but they do the one where they do the tacos. That might have been the third one. Because I think at the beginning they did that little sea thing where it's on the rock and they had like the
stuff.
Yeah,
that was
the stuff.
Start with, yes. With
and then they did the non-bread bread.
Yeah, non-bread bread.
It was liquid bread, folks.
Yeah, the deconstructed non-bread bread plate. Because they were supposedly well known for their bread. It's like supposed to be a big thing. But then they get to the taco one and he tells a story about his father being really drunk. His mother's there in the restaurant. She's just drinking the whole time.
Yep.
And almost like in a comatose state. She just doesn't acknowledge.
I was waiting for like a twist to happen where she was like the actual ringleader or something like that. No, she's just fucking hammered the entire movie.
He's just going to die with her.
Yeah.
You know? But there's a scene he's talking about like, Tuesday being Taco Tuesday as he grew up. And his father tried to strangle his mother, and you know he got a pair of shears, kitchen shears, and stabbed his father. And basically, you know, he goes through this story about this, and then he said, "So enjoy your tacos." And basically, you know, they bring out this chicken thigh, this roasted chicken thigh, wherever he prepared it
with the scissors already.
Yeah, the little golden scissors, the shears.
They all stop, and that's one of the cool things, I guess, that's about the movie is. The whole time he's giving the story is they're back there preparing intricately every single freaking dish that they're doing.
Yeah, it reminded me of the show Hell's Kitchen a little bit. If they had let him go for a year on end with only having that chef as their voice in their head.
Right, yeah.
And even like with the first dish with the rock and the seafood, they're like meticulously placing those little plants and stuff, you know, on the edges.
They were like everything, the rock, all of it was all from the island, and so they were adding on the accoutrement.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was all basically, you know, edible still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything they could eat.
Except for the rock. You can't eat a rock.
You can't.
But it starts getting really, you start finding out that he really knows everything about people because the tortillas that come out with their tacos.
That's really interesting.
They're laser printed or seared, and basically every person's table is catered to them. So, like the one husband and wife who gets a finger cut off, he's been cheating on his wife with the
Margo.
Girl that's escort.
Yeah, the escort.
And you know, there's photos of like their anniversary and stuff of them, and she's like, "Well, who's this woman?" And he's like, "I don't know." And it's like him and her at this restaurant, so they know everything about and the business
The business partners. That's really interesting. These are all your fake invoices that you've created to push your bottom line.
It was
like,
all spreadsheets and
this can't hold up. Tortillas will hold up in court. Like we need to either eat or leave. Like,
right.
And so everybody, I don't think you see everyone's, but basically it's just, those are the particulars.
Yes.
There's a group of three investors, and when we said that, we probably didn't explain that. So Hawthorne restaurant.
Everybody got one. That was because the food critic, he did all the ones of the restaurants that she gave reviews on that shut down.
Oh, yeah.
And then for John Leguizamo, he did like the posters and everything from Dr. Sunshine.
Yeah, so he's got those. I'm saying like they didn't go as in-depth. Except for like those two tables.
Yeah, they did like
the
one
investors and those guys. Yeah. But the investors, so the Hawthorne restaurant, the main chef, he does not own it. He's got angel investors.
He has one angel.
Or one angel investor, and then that's these guys.
Yeah, so the three business dudes, their boss was. Let's not get ahead of this one. Okay, so Taco Tuesday with great laser printing tortillas.
Yep. And that's really when you start getting into, this is kind of sinister.
Yes.
You know, and then now they know everything about
Dish
people.
Dish 4 gets sinister.
Yes. Dish 4 gets very sinister.
Yes.
Would you like to tell them
what? I would. I love fourth Dish 4. Dishes. This is where the movie took a turn for me. So let's backtrack a little bit. Every time they put a dish on a patron's table, they on screen somewhere will say, "This is fried lamb with foie gras," or something like that.
And the name of the dish.
Yeah, what they call it. Yeah. So they had Taco Tuesday. They had the oyster appetizers or whatever the non-bread bread.
Yeah.
And then we meet Jeremy, who is the sous chef of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings Jeremy out and he's like, "Jeremy he pleaded with me. He wanted to learn and train for me, but he's just not that good. Jeremy, do you still want to be like me? No, chef. Do you still dream of being a great chef? No, chef. Perfect." Well, tonight he's going to make you his famous dish. It's going to be one for the ages. Jeremy, please make your dish. He pulls out a gun and shoots himself in the head. And then the great thing that pops up next in the corner, it says Jeremy's Mess.
And they start bringing out food.
Yep.
Because that was the title of his dish. He's like, Jeremy invented this dish. It's called the Mess. And it actually looks pretty good. It's basically like
outside of the
just
corpse.
roasted vegetables. But as he's
hey, they put plastic up so it didn't get in the kitchen.
I didn't even notice them put that out.
So they're laying all this stuff down. So as each story is being told, if there's something that needs to be set up for it, all the other people are putting everything in place as it's happening.
Yeah.
So that this is ready. So like they're putting down this big like plastic or mat thing down and laying it, and that's where Jeremy comes out and stands. But the other great part, we didn't mention this yet, is whenever the chef is about to serve another dish, because everybody's moving and talking, he does his big clap. He's like, wow. And it, but they, you can't hear it that great there, but it's like whooshed wind. It's like, whoop.
Yeah, it's like the Hulk clapped his hands.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's basically to let everybody know, hey, I'm about to talk, and lets all the other chefs know, stop what you're doing. Because then they all like stand at attention. I mean, it's basically like a military thing. He's like a drill sergeant.
Pretty much.
For like psycho, you know, if you're
Are browbeaten, like they are hostages at this point.
And but so the movie goes on, and we'll talk more about the specifics, but you know, it becomes a game where, you know, people are trying to leave, but you know they can't leave, or you know, there's ways to keep them there. He lets them know, hey, you know, the boat, there's no boat here anymore because they had to come and ferry because it is an island.
There's but no cell service out there because it's miles away from the nearest tower.
Yeah.
But he does give this one really good one. He takes him outside. He's like, let's go outside. So everybody goes outside, and he basically explains to him. There is a story where this girl, who's another chef there, or one of the other, you know, cooks, he has her come up, and she's telling this story now. It's not him, it's her, about the main chef trying to
have sex with her.
And she's like, I denied him. He asked me again, blah, 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 this and that.
He kept pushing. And then he ignored me for 8 months.
Yep.
As he punishment. Can do that.
Yeah. Because he's the head chef. And she's so kind of psycho. This is where like the Saw kind of feeling came into it. Because now it's the girl that's like the partner almost. And she ends up stabbing. He stares at her and she gets out scissors and stabs him right in his junk. And he stands there and he just takes it because he's almost like repenting himself, which is part of the whole reason why I guess they're all going to die, because he realized that in deep down in your roots, everybody's evil in some way.
It's like the pale dude in Angels and Demons.
Yeah.
The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, yeah. Where he keeps hitting himself.
Just keeps whipping himself.
But basically, after this happens, she tells her story. And what they do is they allow all the men
to run.
They get a 45-second head start, I believe it is. And one guy just takes off before he even explains it. He's like, okay.
45 seconds starting now. Yeah.
He's like, okay. But he basically gives them an opportunity and to get away. And if they escape, they get a 45-second head start. But then he sends out all the other chefs to go after them.
And these are burly dudes.
Yeah.
These guys run savage races for fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, one guy's like hiding in the chicken coop. One guy
he was
to get
the last one to be found. Yeah, and he gives them a dessert. Like, yeah, here's a treat for being the last one to be found.
Being the last patron caught. This is our play on whatever the egg special du jour is.
And then, so all the women go back and says, these guys are running, because this goes on for a little bit.
Well, that Nicholas Hoult guy didn't want to run. He's like,
he's staying.
He's like, that, you too.
Yeah.
He's like, fine.
Yeah, because he's obsessed with this guy.
Yeah, he just wants to eat the food. He doesn't want to do the experience.
Yeah.
If it was possible, I think he'd sleep with him.
Yeah. Oh, he might have.
Not anymore. Not after that last scissor scene.
No.
Well,
well, it depends on who's where. Anyway, we don't need to get into that.
It was just the left nut.
But the reason why I said it kind of reminded me of like the Saw kind of feeling with the sidekick is because as the guys are running, all the women are back inside and they're all talking. And the one woman who's like the critic, she's talking to the girl trying to convince her to basically let them go. She's like, you know, I can help you start your own restaurant. Blah, 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 this and that. And she's like, you know, we don't have to die. And they all think that she's just part of this thing. But she's like, no, actually, the dying, that was my idea.
Yeah, that was my pitch.
Yeah, that was my pitch. So that's where I said the Saw feeling came from, because like almost like she's helping him out.
Yeah, she's trying to like talk her way out of it. It's like, you are, because what they serve her, or what they come out is like her dish that she made. And it was some kind of like weird, no. One of the dishes was like a taco thing almost. It had like.
That was dish three.
Frozen, okay.
But that was on the Taco Tuesday.
No. But it was like it was like a sheet that was over. They had like frozen like river water. Or whatever.
To be fair, I may not have been paying too much attention to the food at this point because of the dick stabbing that just happened.
Touche.
He was in trauma. But yeah, so it goes on anyway. The guys all get caught.
What's so funny? Yeah, they all get caught. Nicholas Holt comes back and he sees the food on the table and he didn't get to have any. He's like, oh, are you trying that? And it's like throwing her out of the way. He's like, dude, you just lost. You know you're going to die now. You just came in. You wanted to taste the food? Because that was before the revelation.
Mm. Well, the part I like is when John Leguizamo's character comes back and he sits down. And she's like, how'd it go? He's like, oh, fucking great. I got away.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
What the hell do you think? He's the only one who made it.
This was freaking hilarious. He's running. He's cramping up. Yeah. He's like, you got me. I'm done.
Yep.
He's just starting to hold his leg.
And the one dude's like crying. He's the one that actually found the rowboat thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or the canoe thing or whatever. Yeah. And he's trying to get in the water. And then he's all soaking wet because they're pulling it back. And he's like, no!
Was that the guy who was married or dating the just like really affluent woman? But he would like, oh, this food's really enjoyable. And she's like, no, it's shit. And he's like, yeah, I thought so too. This is absolutely garbage.
No. That was the
guy who got caught. He was hiding in the chicken coop.
Oh, yeah,
that was the critic's friend. So, I don't think they were married. I think he
was like the network representative.
Or so she was the editor.
Or something like that.
And because that's what she was invited out for or they reached out to the chef about having an interview one-on-one with her. Mm. And so that's why he was there. He's kind of like her PR person or something.
I always thought, I was like, wow, that boy is whipped.
No, the guy that got screaming from the rowboat or the boat, that was one of the investors.
He was one of the businessmen.
He was the one that was, the girl leans over when they had the bread plate, and they kept saying, you know who we are, which is, I hate when people do that at restaurants or bars. You know who I am? And she's like, oh, I know who you are. And he's like, you know, can we get more bread? She's like, no. And then she leans over and whispers in his ear. I want to make sure I get this right. She says, you will eat less than you desire and more than you deserve.
Yep.
But she whispers it in his ear.
Yeah.
And he just shuts the fuck up.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. So at this point now, everybody's knowing
it's like you just showed him the red card. Like, shut the fuck up. I will murder your family.
And just for everybody heads up, we are kind of skipping around a little bit. We're going back and forth.
Yeah.
But there is a couple other scenes in there. So, you know, as the movie goes on, you know, Margot, who's the escort, she starts finding like a connection, or she doesn't like anything. Like half the stuff she didn't really want to eat, or she just doesn't like it, or, you know, she's a very plain Jane girl, you know, and you find that out later. And there's a scene where the chef asks her to come see him in the kitchen. He sends out the one woman, what's her name?
Elsa.
Elsa's kind of like overseeing all the servers and stuff and the whole kitchen staff. So she walks over and she's like, chef would like to see you. And that's, again, where he brings her over. This is after the bathroom scene. He's like, you know, I ask you again, who are you?
He's like, I'm Margo. He's in his office.
He's like, you're not a Margo. No, this is in the kitchen. This isn't in the office yet.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, and he's like, I just need to know. He's like, you don't belong here, but I need to know what side you're on. Are you going to be on the side that takes or that gives, you know? And she's like, but either way I die. He's like, oh, we're all going to die. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, he's got this thing about him, he's so set, it's like nothing for him to say. He's like, no, we're going to die tonight. I just need to know where to sit you. Do you need to be out there with them or in here with us? So he starts finding connection. And later on, she goes to his office and she starts, it's almost like her way of pleading, like trying to find a connection to him. And he's asking her questions about herself. And then that's how she knew.
He also got a very insightful look into Nicholas Holt's sex life.
Yeah.
In that discussion, which is
weird
and boring.
Yeah, see, she was.
Was it? No, I thought he was asking about the old man.
No, it wasn't Nick. She was asking about the old man, the one she was cheating with.
Oh, okay.
Or the old man that was cheating on his wife.
I thought she was talking about Nicholas.
No, she was talking about the old man
because
she's like.
Because even the wife pointed out, she's like, she looks just like our daughter.
And that's right, and there's a thing about the sex act about the daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, he wanted to jerk off and have her tell him that he's a good dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. And he's like, oh, that's...
There's a more detailed line in the movie but that we won't go into.
Yeah.
So basically, that's where that comes from. But he starts finding out, you know... And as she's having this conversation, again, I'm going to compare it to a lot of movies. It's kind of like a Usual Suspects type thing then, because she's looking around
the trying office. Trying to find something.
And she sees like photos of him when he's younger, like when he was first started out cooking.
Until she goes into the secret room in the mansion.
Oh, was that when she flipped out?
She's the employee.
I'm sorry, I saw it one time, but... So yeah, she ends up...
I watched it yesterday.
Yeah, so she...
Because I'm really prepared for today's episode.
Well, there was a thing that Elsa was supposed to bring. It was a barrel, and she forgot to bring it, and he asked her to go get it. He asked Margot to go get it. So she goes in, and that's when she finds the secret room in his place. Her name is Aaron, but they kept asking her that because she's saying, who are you? She's like, I'm Margot. He's like, you're not a Margot. I've served many Margos.
Yeah, you don't look like a Margot.
You're not a Margot.
So, speaking of going downstairs to grab the barrel, let's talk about Tyler real quick.
Okay.
So Chef knows that Tyler is a really big foodie, and every time he eats something, he keeps deconstructing. He's like, oh, this is this, this, and this, and it kind of pisses the fuck out of Chef. So he's like, you're a big fan of food, aren't you? He's like, yes, well, I would like you to come to cook in my kitchen.
He invites him to make a dish.
Yep.
Gives him a coat and everything.
He writes in pen his name, and then he invites him. Come on, everybody, let's see Tyler demonstrate his cooking ability.
Yep, and he's like, so what do you need? It leaks, okay, or shallots or something.
Shallots,
And he starts chopping him up. He's like, "Well, that's a dicing technique we've never seen before."
Yeah. So he was put so on the spot because he thinks he knows everything about food. Like he can talk like he's a major critic or cook.
No talent.
And he has he's no skill to it. So he's also super nervous now because now he's like, "Oh, I gotta." He's basically obsessed with Chef, almost in love with him.
Yeah.
And.
To a psychotic
degree. So now he's like, here, cook me something. And so now he's like shaking, like the pan's set. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's
using scallops, and he adds something. I think it was mushrooms, shiitake mushrooms.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's what he's like. He was like, I'm like, shit? You would like some shit?
You would like some shit.
And then he's like, shiitake mushrooms.
Shiitake. Oh, some mushrooms. Okay.
And then he's like, no protein? He's like, lamb. He just throws it all into a pan and just starts stir frying it. And he's like, I think it's done, chef. He's like, okay.
Sure.
He's like, do you want to put it in, you know, the heat or whatever? There's a cooking term for it. So basically, after you're done cooking, searing on a pan, you take that pan and stick it in like the oven or the convection oven. There is a cooking term. I don't know what it is, but he says, he's like, are you sure you don't want to do this? He's like, no. He's like, okay.
And then Chef takes a bite, and he's like, this is bad.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
And then the name of the dish was also Tyler's Shit.
Yep.
and undercooked lamb with shallots, butter, and something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really all he needs. And he asks for butter, too, and he puts this huge, massive chunk of butter in there. I'm like...
Like, I love buttered food, but that was a lot of butter.
That was called the heart attack sauce.
And so when he's done, Chef leans over, and Tyler's got this huge disappointing look, and he tells him, he whispers in his ear.
You don't know what he says.
Yeah.
You don't know what he says. And Tyler just proceeds to take off the chef's jacket and walks away. He just walks away. later on, you find out what happened to Tyler.
Yeah, so when Margot or Aaron goes downstairs to grab the barrel... I missed it my first watch through, because at the end of the movie, I actually Googled what the fuck happened to Tyler, and they're like, oh, it was in this scene. I was like, what the?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He's just hanging in the office.
Yeah, so he goes downstairs and kills himself.
Yep.
You don't know why. You just know that the chef convinced him to do it. He didn't get to enjoy the rest of his meal.
So, we'll give basically a quick gist of the rest of the movie, then we'll talk kind of opinions on some of my favorite scenes. But it goes on and on. Margot near the end. So basically, everybody now is accepting that they're going to die. Which is ironic because, like, they realize, I guess, they're outnumbered, they're overpowered, and, you know, most of them aren't in shape. But the angel investor ends up getting killed because the guys are, like, saying
he dropped them in the water.
Yeah, they're like,
with angel wings.
Our boss kept you alive through COVID. He's like, you're right. He was my angel investor. And then spotlights out into the ocean. It's him with angel wings being dangled by like a crane.
Yeah.
He's like, and then just slowly lowers him into the water.
And then
he's making everyone listen to it.
Yes.
Too. He's like, listen, and...
Silence.
And then they bring out another course.
Yep. And so as it goes on, but basically everybody's accepting they're going to die. And, you know, it goes on and on. They basically all give up. But then there's a scene where Margot or Aaron, but she only says Aaron once. So Margot for the case of the episode.
And she's only credited on IMDb as Margot.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I told you, I went down a rabbit hole.
There comes an end before dessert and before they cash out their checks. And she has this moment where the camera pans to just her face. And it's like she has this realization. Like, you don't know it, but just by the look. And what she does, the big clap. And, you know, it's that big clap. And Chef's like... And all, like, shocked. He's like, wait, what? And she stands up, and she basically gives this long diatribe speech, And she's like, you know, I don't like your food. I want to send everything back and not good, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and the worst part is I'm still fucking hungry. And that's what throws Chef off. So now she's starting to play all the stuff that she found in that secret room and in the conversation she had with him. She figures out a way to get out of, to be able to leave, even though the whole time, no matter what she's done, he keeps saying, no, you're going to die, even though you're not supposed to be here. And he's like, you're still hungry? Because earlier in the movie, he said, she's like, I don't want to fill up. This is why she wasn't eating. He's like, no, I've particularly planned this so that you can't fill up, or so you won't fill up. Because the menu has to make sense, is what he keeps saying. The menu has to make sense for the evening to go out the way it's supposed to. So she gives this long speech, and she says, I'm hungry. He's like, you're still hungry? Like, he's just shocked. Like, he's almost like a child now. Yeah. Like a mom yelling at a kid, like, what? Like, he's gotten caught.
Well, he had put her in her place because she was the one that called the...
Coast Guard.
Yep. So yep. When she went to go get that barrel, he's like, oh, you found our radio. Yep.
So now she's getting back.
So she was in the dad's place. Yeah, he'd pissed her off.
Yep.
Or she'd have pissed him off.
So, but now she figured out this way. So she's going through, and he's like, well, what are you hungry for? She's like, she doesn't say that yet. She's like, what do you have? He's like, we have everything. And she's like, you know what I really want? And he's like, what would you like? And she's like, a cheeseburger. And he's like, we can make a cheeseburger. And she's like, no. He's like, I want a real cheeseburger. Not some deconstructed you know, bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Not some fancy, because a lot of restaurants do that when they're high-end, you know. Yeah. You end up getting, like, a crouton and a big burger. So she's like, a real cheeseburger. And he's like, I can make you the best cheeseburger you've ever had, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
With
and,
American cheese? It's like, it's not a cheeseburger without American cheese.
Or she says, American cheese. And he's like, American cheese is the best cheese for a cheeseburger because the cheese doesn't split.
Yeah.
Say cheese, that five times in a row.
Cheese doesn't split. Yeah.
But they're like having this just dead-eyed, monotone conversation where she's like, I want this. Well, I can do this. Well, I can do this. So it's almost seeming like they're really connecting. And then he's like,
she like fries? Crinkle cut or Julian?
Julian. And she's like, how much that set me back?
For the record, the correct answer is curly.
Yeah, exactly.
But she's like, how much it will set me back? He's like, $9.95. Like, he has that off in his head.
Yeah.
First of all, for a plate, for a meal that, you know, all your dishes per head are $1,250, you're getting away with a $10 burger. Not even in this day, even in 2022 when COVID was hitting, the prices were not that low. And especially in a restaurant like that. But anyway,
well,
she's
$9.95. I think it was just an addition to the $1,200 that was.
Yeah. I think it was a callback to when he was an employee of the month.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
she saw, that's one of the things she sees. She saw when he was a young kid or younger.
Yeah.
And he was at this burger place. He's
just
making
had
a burger.
That joy.
Yeah, he had the joy. So she now knows he's going to make it. And he's like, you know, I'll be right back. And then it cuts to him, and now he's cooking. And it's got this music playing in the background. You can tell he's kind of getting back to his
smash burger.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that thing looked amazing. Yeah, I want that hamburger. So, she also ordered it medium. One, you always order your burger medium rare, so when you take it off the grill, it continues cooking and it doesn't become a briquette.
See, now it's a cooking show.
Listen here, Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler. Why don't you go make us something?
We're going to take the camera now to the kitchen.
I'll get you some shit.
I'll get you some shit.
So she gets...
I prefer tortellinis, but all right.
So he does this big presentation, brings it out to her himself, serves it to her, because now he's got the joy of actually getting back to actually making food the way he wants to, a cheaper food, simpler time. And she takes a bite, and she's like, oh my God, this is amazing, and he sees the joy in her face, and that makes him happy. But then she says, unfortunately, my eyes were bigger than my stomach, you know, I'm full. Can I get a doggy bag, or can I get a to-go box? And that's when you know, he says, I'm coming right up, or he says something along those lines. And that's when you know... she's going to be able to be let go because she's found that connection. And basically the bottom line is he lets her go because she found something true to his heart when he was younger, something he loved doing.
So I disagree
and she
on,
wasn't
that,
elite.
On your interpretation of the ending.
Okay.
I think she just found a loophole, like because she got a to-go bag, she must be allowed to go. You can't get a to-go bag and then we'll get to the fiery death in a moment.
But so... she says to go back. Now, at first, I'm like thinking he's going to give it to her and be like, wait, where are you going? Like, not let her go. But she actually gets, and he gives her a to-go goodie bag that everybody normally gets.
Yeah,
like,
gets
you know,
the bag, yeah.
It's got, you know, fun little things in there and stuff, you know, remembrance of the night.
That's another thing.
Like,
he prepares goodie bags, like goodbye bags or thank you bags to everybody that joined him at the restaurant.
He makes them pay for the bill before setting
the
final stage.
So Margot leaves, and there was a Coast Guard that came there earlier that was all part of the whole deal with everything. They thought they were going to get away. This all before that stuff happened. He ends up being part of it. He's gonna.
It was a minor plot point, but you see it coming a mile and a half away.
So she's gets off and gets on the Coast Guard boat or the boat that he was on, and she's trying to get it going. Anyway, she finally is able to get out to the water. She stops halfway out and she just sits there and just proceeds to eat her burger.
I like how she wipes her mouth with the menu.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
And so this is where the really fun part comes in. So the ending is the dessert. They get their checks too. So he makes them pay. So everybody pays up. He's like, here, please enjoy your goodie bags or thank you bags. He gives them
goodie bags with things that you should be able to enjoy.
And then he talks shit about one of my favorite childhood dishes.
Yep.
Little fucker.
Okay, so the dessert is s'mores. But it's a modern take on s'mores.
Yeah, very modern.
So there's no graham cracker.
Well, there is. That's what they put across the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're, they're throwing that across
the floor. That was nitroglycerin.
But the whole point of the story is with that part of it, and I'll let you continue, is that he's basically saying it's not a good dessert. It's basically a cheap, it's basically just like a...
Something like it destroys the palate of whatever.
It's like basically it
touches.
So as he's telling the story, I'll let you continue. He basically gets graham crackers and he's telling the story and he's sprinkling graham crackers or something along those lines all along the ground in big piles or they're pouring it out. What else happens?
All the patrons, they get this vest made of marshmallows.
Yep.
And then I think they pour chocolate all...
No, it's a chocolate hat.
A chocolate hat.
That's right. It's okay. I'm getting ahead of myself.
It looks like a fez, basically.
Yeah. It starts melting at one point.
Yeah.
So the patrons are the s'mores themselves.
Yep.
And he does this big, not really a bad guy, just a psychotic monotone rant about how, goodbye. And then it pans up to where it's an isometric view and the circle looks like a campfire.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone throws down giant, what looks like marshmallows on sticks, and then everything combusts.
Well, he lets go of that. He grabbed that coal.
The sommelier.
And he was talking about pain and burning. You burn your hand so many times, you get numb to the pain. Right. So he grabs this big old chunk of this fiery
shit. Yeah, and then he just drops it into the kerosene. Yeah.
He's walking with it in his hand the whole time. Yeah. And then the best thing is, right before he lets it go, which is going to ignite everything, because they're going to find out anyway, it's going to ignite everything. He's like, I love you all. And he then drops it.
And then they respond, everyone's, we love you, chef.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm. Even the patrons.
That's why I'm like, all right, this is bad shit.
So everyone just starts burning alive. And what I was thinking about the melted chocolate is the hats start, you could see it dripping.
Yeah, they're all melting on them.
And you can see the marshmallows.
All the cooks start going down the line and cutting on all the gas burners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when they're all watching it all culminate in the center because they got the fan on too.
Yep.
And you just see a cyclone of fire and then...
All right. Boom. So you see this and then it cuts back to Margot on the ship and she's just eating her hamburger. And she hears this explosion. She just looks over and says, huh. It goes back to eating her hamburger. And then... The final menu card comes up and it says s'mores, chocolate, graham cracker, chef, staff, and patrons.
So that's the movie, the menu. Yep. In a nutshell, there's a lot of stuff we probably missed or didn't talk about, but so now we'll go into what favorite parts. What
was Jeremy. Jeremy freaked me the fuck out. I was not expecting him to shoot himself in the head like that.
I liked, John Leguizamo's, pleading for his assistant, and the chef's like, "So, where'd you go to school? Brown? Student debt? No. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're gonna die. you're an elitist too. that was the sommelier going around, and as they're pulling Jeremy's body back, this is a nice vintage. it's just giving them." Pouring drink after
it
drink.
It took me a while to recognize the sommelier, but he's actually from a show called Veep, where he plays an oil lobbyist.
Yeah, okay.
Wildly different characters. I was like, that's the same guy who told the vice president to go fuck herself in that show? Like, what is going on here? Acting.
Rage. It's called acting.
I think I liked, not so much that I liked, but I'll say the one thing that kind of, I don't really know if it annoyed me, if it was just like, I didn't like Nicholas Holt's character because of, even though he was obsessed, he also became that very just blinders on type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when the first guy, when Jeremy shoots himself, everybody's freaking out. He's sitting there just eating away.
He's like, this is good. This is good. Yeah. No, and also like insulting her for not being on his level. Like it starts out like he's trying to impress her and he's very sorry. But as soon as he gets there, he's all about like trying to impress the chef and meet him and talk to him. And he's like, oh my God, he's coming over here.
Do you think he likes me? Do you think he's mad at me?
Does he hate me?
Why does it matter? He's serving you.
Yeah, you're paying him. Yeah,
exactly.
He works for you now.
Yeah. I definitely wasn't a fan of his character. I don't say I hated it. I think it was a good entry into the restaurant. But once everybody was there, he was allowed to go by the wayside a little bit. I don't think they really needed... Focusing on Margot, I think, was a great choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have just let him just be a background character until he killed himself.
Yeah.
I don't think he needed to be as prominent once the dinner kicked off, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Oh, Tyler's shit.
I mean, I really like the chef.
Yeah.
He's got that certain kind of psychotic charisma where he's calm. Except the only time he really loses his cool is, I can't remember, what was it? Was it after Tyler shot himself? Or is one of the scenes where all of a sudden he just yells out, "Now we eat!"
Oh, yeah.
He just yells out, "Hey!"
It had to have been.
I think it might have been that, but I really like that.
Or no, I think that was after they cut off his finger.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's when he was giving them so much, you know, he was kind of going across the room giving each other shit about why they're all here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I do like, because... I did like the dynamic, again, with Margot and the chef, because, like I said, there has always been an understanding, but when, like, the beginning, when he's first serving the first course, and he's telling the story, he's like, tonight before he even serves the first course, he's like, you're going to be experiencing this, you're going to be ingesting, you know, bacteria, protein, sugars, salts, blah, blah, blah. He's like, one thing you must not do to, I don't want you to eat. He's like, I want you to savor, taste, above, and you know what he means.
Yeah.
But then later on, when Margot's not eating, he's like, you haven't touched it. And she's like, you said not to eat. And he's like, that's not what I meant. And you know it.
Yeah.
So you can see from that beginning that, you know, they can push each other's buttons. Like she knows how to kind of mess with him, and he knows how to mess with her. I think that's also what impressed him about her. I mean, like why the chef was kind of intrigued by her is like, you know, she didn't get angry. She was calm like him. So when she would push back,
there was something we didn't talk about in our initial synopsis. Is when she goes down to get the barrel, she sees dead Tyler. So she grabs a knife instead of the barrel, and she goes into the main house and she tries to get into his locked door.
Mm-hmm.
Elsa finds her. So just before this scene, Chef says, "No, Margot, you can go down and get it." And Elsa's like, "But I can do it." And he's like, "No. She's one of us. She can go."
Yeah,
and then she actually shows up at the house when she's trying to break in, and she's like also psychotic.
Yeah.
She's like, "You'll never replace me." She's like, "I don't want to replace you." And then they get into a fight and she winds up stabbing her in the neck.
Yep.
And then she has the key to the secret room, and that's when she learns about the employee of the month.
Yeah.
And the shortwave radio that goes to the fake ghost guard. This movie's fucked.
Yeah. But even before all that, like there's like, cause all that other stuff, like her remarks to him, she was pushing his buttons.
Oh, yeah.
But she did it very calmly. Like, she was very controlled in her. Like, she didn't really let the emotion out. And I think that's...
Almost like her profession allows her to read people at a glance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's basically it. Like, she knows how to read people and make them
feel comfortable. Even he was, you know, saying about how he was kind of impressed of her not making a scene with the older gentleman. I can't even remember his name. The prominent couple that was there 11 times. Now. They're
human s'mores.
They're all s'mores now. But I did, even though this one, I wasn't a huge fan of them, but their conversations I did enjoy was that the food critic woman and then her PR guy or publicist.
Especially when Jeremy gets shot.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, the acting is just unparalleled. Great acting, by the way." And they look over at John Leguizamo. He's like, "Lady, I'm not part of the scene."
Yeah.
So I missed that he was like part of her entourage or a business partner. I thought they were together. And I was like, damn, this dude needs to grow a spine or something. Because every time he would say, "Oh, the food is wonderful. This is delicious." And she's like, "No, this is garbage." She's like, "You're absolutely right. This is garbage. I don't know why I said that."
Well, because he's her PR guy.
Yeah. And but I thought he was like a boyfriend or a husband something like that.
Because if you remember, too, there's...
Clearly, I don't.
Well, I'm saying if you go back and watch it, there's another scene where when they're talking about the with the no bread thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I make my own bread. He's like, you make your own bread? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, what kind of yeast do you use? She's like, I make my own yeast with apples. He's like, of course you make your own yeast with apples. But they're like conversation. It reminds you of like those real high-class elitist stuck up, you know, in their ways. The way they talk to each other, like oh, this is devilish.
And, even
oh, this
even is so when he like, gets his finger cut off, he's like, she's like, I feel like all of this was set up for us.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
And that's part of
what?
So we'll go real quick down. I know we explained a couple of them. So basically, the reason why a lot of these people are getting punished, John Leguizamo, his movie, he didn't like it.
Yeah.
And he works all the time. So he said, my one day off, I saw this movie. It was bad. So basically, he's done with him.
He's also a philanderer because you remember the assistant is like, let me give you back your house key, the house key to your girlfriend's place that your wife doesn't know about.
Yeah.
I'm taking back my key to my place.
Yep.
And see, I can understand that part, but killing him because you hated his movie? I mean, that's kind of a dick move.
Well, it's because he wasted his time. Like, out of the one thing he wanted to enjoy, the free time, and he took it away from him. But he's like, hey, man, I didn't direct it. He's like, I just acted in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the business guys, you know, they were making false information.
They worked for making false information. And they worked for the angel investor that he just drowned.
Yeah. So basically almost like stealing from people is what they were doing.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay, you know, you don't deserve to live. You know, the husband was cheating on his wife. The wife also, they've come to there, but they can't name a dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because they are so high end, he's like, most people wouldn't even have the privilege to eat here once, let alone 11 times, and you can't name at least one dish. So they're dead. Tyler, he had spoken to, and he said, hey, you know, if you want to come out, basically, you're going to die.
And the food critic was on her tortillas. She shut down 8 different restaurants because of a bad review.
Well, you saw those also where he had, like, in his room, he had, like, a lot of the stuff. He had that Dr. Sunshine movie ticket.
Yep.
He had one of the restaurants that he worked at that she shut down.
Yep.
Like, yeah, he had, like, stuff in there, too, that was memorabilia, I guess, from the setup of the night.
Yep. And that's why he said everything. He made it a point to say, you know, the menu, it has to make sense.
Mm.
Like, the ending, everything had to tie together. And that's why Margot was... It threw everything off.
Yeah.
Because when they first arrived on the island, too, we forgot to mention this, like, they're like, oh, Mr. Miss So-and-so, or you're so-and-so, and this is... And when they get to Tyler and Margot, he's like, oh, no, this isn't Mrs. What's her name? I can't remember the last name he said. He's like...
Vander,
no, he's like...
Yeah,
he's like, there's been a change in plans last minute. And so she's like... Even that girl Elsa was kind of like, oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
Like, didn't really know what to say to that. So then when the chef finds out, you know, he's like, you know, you're not supposed to be here. He's like, it doesn't make sense.
And he even asked him, he says, so why did you, knowing that you were going to die here tonight, bring her? He says, well, you don't serve one person, so it's couples.
And she, like, freaks out. That was the only time she freaks out.
Yeah, she freaks out to go
on him.
Go start beating his face in.
Which is fair.
I mean,
you know.
Kind of deserved it at that point.
I think he even said that. He's like, he deserved that.
I think I would say to the audience and people listen and watch this, after you watch this movie, you're probably going to be leery of someone inviting you out to dinner.
Mm.
Don't go to a private island.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, man, I know this great
restaurant.
It's out in nowhere. It's very high end.
You gotta you got to try that bread.
Nope.
Make sure you have cell service.
I'm like, listen, we can go to, like, you know, we can go to Logan's Steakhouse or something, or Outback right here.
We can go to Arby's.
Yeah. They have the meats.
You tell me a double beef and cheddar isn't amazing.
Ooh.
Right?
Great. Now I know where I'm going for lunch.
You'd like a cheeseburger. A real cheeseburger. American cheese is the best cheese to have, and the cheeseburger's cheese doesn't split.
Can't say no to a good cheeseburger. And I was going to go up to our normal haunt. I'll probably get one there.
There you go.
Boom.
So that's basically. What else you guys have to have? We got about 10 minutes left. So
all in all, to give it a number, I'd give it a 7.
Okay.
Is it like one of my favorite movies? No. But it was definitely entertaining for the 2 hours that it was on.
Okay.
I definitely enjoyed the twists at the end of the first act. Jeremy's mess. That was fun. The human s'mores. That was weird. And like I said, I think you and I have different interpretations on the ending, but I think we both agree that it was a she's the only one who figured out how to get away, and it was a solid ending.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about you?
I kind of felt like the ending part, it lacked a little bit of its... I guess the suspense was already gone at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I described this earlier as like the remake of Leo, The Great Gatsby. The beginning of the movie was absolutely just awesome and it was amazing. And then the end is just like, oh.
Kind of petered out?
Yeah. It just had so much steam running forward and it was great coming out of the gate. Just wasn't much on the stamina.
I will say all the peon chefs in the kitchen, every time he clapped his hand or he said something, they stood up straight, looked at, like, at attention and just waited.
Yeah.
I got very Stepford vibes from them.
Yep.
Some very, and it turned into basically Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
When they're, I'm just talking about the patrons.
Oh, yeah.
Because when they're sitting there and they're just accepting fate and like nobody, even through the movie when the Coast Guard guy comes in or maybe it was just before, he was like, you guys could have overpowered us tonight. You have let us take advantage of you and scare you into this. So you could have left at any time. No one's keeping you here. You could have grabbed a knife or whatever. And they just sat there.
Yep.
Bunch of bitches.
So you gave it a 7.
Yeah.
What would your number rating
be? I'd probably give it about a 6.
Okay.
It was like I said, the beginning of it, it had like a great, it drew you in very, very hard. Like, oh my God, what's next? Because the original thought was, after they killed Jeremy, they were going to eat Jeremy. That's what I thought was going to happen, but no, it's just this mess.
That would have made a bigger mess.
Yeah, that would have made a bigger mess.
I know you've seen this movie, Gavin. I don't think you have. But you remember a movie called The Tess?
Yeah.
So I got a lot of vibes from that one, too.
You're talking about the one where it's one question. They have to answer the one question.
But you can't write down on the paper, and there's like 10 people in the room with the security guard.
Yeah, and they're all trying to figure out the answer to the question. But it's like the question, the way they worded the question was the answer or something along those lines.
And there
lines.
Was a clock in the front of the room, but the CEO was also in the room and he reset the clock to pull him. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a really weird movie, but what Gavin just described, I really, like, that clicked. Like,
okay.
I kind of see that now.
All right. So we got a 7, we got a 6. For me, I will give it an 8.
Okay.
I'll give it an 8, and I'll give you the reason why. So number one, it hits on one of the things that I've said many, many times to you guys and on the show.
You love food and cooking?
Well, besides that. No, the one thing I said, what is my favorite type of movie?
Dialogue.
But besides that.
Oh.
Suspense?
Well, no. I mean, think of the setting of the movie.
Restaurant. Two people having a conversation.
It was in one location. Spot. It was one location. So this whole thing is happening in one location. I love that. So, number one, it hit on one of my favorite styles, the dialogue. Absolutely. I thought his speeches were really good. Mm-hmm. The chef's speeches.
These are all highly trained and very good actors.
Oh, yeah. But the twist was in there. Again, because it had that M. Night Shyamalan type feeling, you know, in there with, you know, the way the twist, but then things changed and then the girl figures out a way out of it. But just seeing that later, the change. But as I've already said before about this, it's like their kind of connection, the chef and Margot's connection, there were similarities to them. And just the back and forth and the uniqueness of it. So that's why I kind of gave it an 8. Was it the best thing I've ever seen? No. But I think it was a lot better than some of the other things I've seen more recently.
I thought it was better than it had any right to be.
I will say it was original.
Yeah.
It's not, it wasn't like, or at least that, you know, I've seen on anything recently coming out that has pulled from any of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was straightforward about what it was. Even with the, you know, with the twists and turns in it. But it was very original, which I can definitely give marks for that.
I think the movie I watched before this one was The Beekeeper.
Yep.
And unique names for everything, but I've seen that kind of movie 30 fucking times.
Yeah. This one is it's aptly named. It's kind of like if I could think of it this way, if you took like the movie My Dinner with Andre and had Alfred Hitchcock directing it,
ooh,
that's kind of what this movie felt like. Okay. It'd be like, you know, because he always had like a unique thing about him, but you know, My Dinner with Andre was just two guys in a restaurant talking, and specifically about the foods they're eating too. If you take that, that's why I give it.
With Hitchcock? Now I'm trying to think, is there going to be a murder or like The Mist outside?
Well, there was plenty of murder already, and there was Mist inside. I think that's what I'm saying. That's what it reminded me. If you took Alfred Hitchcock and had him do My Dinner with Andre, this is basically what that movie would turn into.
It also kind of had a little bit of a Tarantino vibe to it with all the explanation.
Yeah.
It just didn't have the cutscene back to it.
Yeah, the flashback type things explaining.
Tarantino would be, all right, well, the explanation is half given, and then you see the flashback, it works out.
Of like Margot prostituting with the old man or something.
You probably would have had the scene with the old man.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
with the old man.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They would like cut back to that, like they're in a hotel room or something. Yeah. And he's like, "Don't you ever get back to your wife?" Blah blah blah. He's like,
or with the food critic, like getting praise for her review of a restaurant that ended up getting shut down, something like that.
So speaking of that, the one thing, we got a few minutes, but I just want to bring this up. So now that you said that, you made me think of something else. What I actually would have liked to have seen, maybe not a flashback of everybody, but it would have been interesting if they did a playback of like how they researched all the people coming to see them. Like who was actually doing the research. Dig a little bit more into those back scenes, because like they said, they all live there all the time.
Or how they talked about and convinced everyone to stay there and die.
Yeah.
not the patrons, but the staff.
Yeah.
Like the servers, the waiters, like everybody.
They're very committed.
They were very committed.
They should have been committed. I want to go back to Alfred Hitchcock directing My Dinner with Andre.
Okay.
Because I know Wallace Shawn. I've never seen it, but I knew Wallace Shawn was in that movie. Mm-hmm. So I can actually just picture Wallace Shawn talking with Andre Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
And like he sees like someone get stabbed in the chest at a different. He's like, "Oh my God, look, someone just got stabbed." And Andre turns around and is like, "What? There's nothing over there." And then you could just see Wallace Shawn continuing to see messed up stuff throughout the restaurant. But Andre always looks like a second too late and never sees it.
So you're rewriting a new movie?
I want to see that movie.
All right. Well, write it then.
All right. Wallace Shawn and Andre Gregory.
I'll send you some software. You can script writing software.
That's awesome.
All right. So we.
I'm also going to plagiarize The Princess Bride.
You got to register with SAG too.
Yeah.
But I also want Wallace Shawn to do the bit from The Princess Bride. It's like, I know that you would know that I would know. So that's why I would know and you would know. So I would put it over here.
All right, then. So Patrick's going to be writing a movie soon. We'll get some updates every week.
And then immediately sued.
Yeah. but we are about out of time. But, guys, thank you so much for joining us and talking The Menu. Thanks, guys, for watching it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know. We'll have to do it again sometime on one of these. So as usual, everybody, check us out on all our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check us out on all listening platforms, on YouTube as well. We will be giving more updates on Sunscreen Film Festivals coming up
soon.
2 months. It's almost exactly 2 months from now. 2 months in a week or something. So that's coming up soon. We should be having our friend Haley back on with us in the next week or two. So, definitely check that out. And Doug will be coming back with us. I know he's been wanting to get back on, and he's got some updates on the film festival as well.
And we've got a couple of more people reaching out. Yep. We're just popular.
Yep. We're getting there, man. Looks like we made it.
If Alani and Gatorade want to call us for a sponsorship, you could actually just start paying for our drinks.
Yeah. So keep on checking us out. We'll be back every week. And then once we get close to the film festival, we'll be giving you updates on there. For anybody local, we'll definitely let you know where exactly we'll be. If you haven't been there before, we're in the same spot again. But we'll keep you updated on all that stuff. But until then, for Movie Talks and Jill, we're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
All right, guys. Take care. Don't forget, guys, you can visit us at our website, movietalksandchill.com. Email us at talktous@movietalksandchill.com or find us on our YouTube channel.
You can also follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Movie Talks and Chill.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast.
New episodes available every Wednesday. Talk to you then. Theme music for our podcast was composed, arranged, and performed by Paul the Rock.